Okay, so today's daf is actually a relatively brief daf. As other dafim in Masechet Bava Basra, the Rashbam fills in a lot of space, and Tosfos fills in a lot of space. So let's go to the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of a discussion, how to acquire two things were being discussed. How do you acquire a big boat? And how do you acquire a debt, an IOU? So if the example we were giving, I owed money to Rachamim, I gave Rachamim a document saying, I, Zev, owe you, Rachamim, $100. And now Yosef would like to buy that debt. He wants to go be the one to collect from me, and he'll keep the money. So he gives Rachamim whatever it is, $70. And Rachamim says, okay, for $70 you can have the debt. So how does Yosef actually acquire the debt? Paying money can't acquire an intangible thing like a debt. So how does Yosef acquire the debt? So the Gemara had said, and Rabbi Nassan says, Yosef has to get two things. Number one, the document has to be given to Yosef. The IOU has to be handed to Yosef. And number two, Rachamim has to fill out a contract with Yosef where he says, I am transferring to Yosef the document, and to spell out and everything that's included in the document, all the obligations and the liens and the debts that are in the document are transferred over to Yosef. However, it says the Gemara will start at the top of today's daf, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, Amar Ameimar. Ameimar said, Hilchasa Osios Niknos B'Mesira. The halacha is not like that view. You don't need to have both the handover plus a contract that specifies that everything included in the document and mentioned in the document has been transferred. Rather, all you need is the handover of the document. If the document is handed over to Yosef, now Yosef can collect the debt that it's written in it, even though the debt, what's written, says that Zev owes money to Rachamim. Kir Rebbe. That's like the view of Rebbe. Amalei Ravashi la Ameimar. So Ravashi said to Ameimar, so this thing that you said, that the halacha is that you don't need both a handover plus a contract. All you need is a handover. So Ravashi asked Ameimar, Gemara o Svara? Is this a tradition or is this based on logic? Amar le Gemara. He said it is, in fact, a tradition that I heard. Amar Ravashi. Ravashi added, Svara nami hu. It also makes sense based on logic. Why? The osios milinin. At the end of the day, when Rachamim is selling the debt that Zev owes to Rachamim to Yosef, what he's selling is not coins. He doesn't have coins to sell. What he's selling is a bunch of words. He's selling Zev's words that he said he'll pay Rachamim. He's selling those words over to Yosef. So therefore, when you're selling words and act like handing over the piece of paper, that maybe could transfer the words. But to write a new piece of paper with a new set of words, how's that going to work? That's not going to accomplish anything. And therefore, it's certainly only the handover that's needed.
Is he saying that's a better way of creating a kingdom? Like that
hand over voting? Yeah. Star? Yeah. So Amar Ravashi said, Svara Nami, it's also logic. And in terms of transferring the debt, just the handover is what it is done, what is needed and what transfers the debt. To Osios Milininu, because what are you transferring? You're transferring over an IOU. In the IOU, you have words. That's what it is, really. It's just words. Mili b'mili lo miknin. You can't have words transferred by means of other words. What are we saying? There has to be a handover plus a contract, and the contract's going to accomplish something? The contract's just a bunch of words. How could words accomplish anything? Ask the Gemara below, is that really the case? V'amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav. But we know that Rabba Bar Yitzchak says in the name of Rav, Shnei Shtaros Heim. There are actually two different types of documents, or two laws about documents. If the document said, Zuchu b'sadazu l'ploni v'kisvu lo es hashtar. Let's say he said, I'm going to give, you know, lift up, we were lifting up a pen a moment ago, lift up the handkerchief, and through lifting the handkerchief, this field becomes acquired to so-and-so, and then write for him a shtar. After you acquire the field for him, write a document as proof that he acquired the field. So chozer b'shtar. So then the seller can change his mind about the document. He can say, you know what? I don't want there to be a proof. I don't want there to be a document. However, v'eino chozer b'sadeh, but once the witnesses lifted the handkerchief on behalf of that other person, so I can't say, oh, but the contract hasn't been written yet, so I renege on the gift. The gift once given is given. I can't renege on the gift. It was already given. However, if I said to them, lift up a handkerchief in order to acquire a field for so-and-so, al menashe tichtavu lo es hashtar, on condition that you also write for him a document, which is proof that he owns the field. So now, before they write the document, I can change my mind. Chozer bein b'shtar. Once I change my mind about the document, I can also change my mind about the gift, bein besadeh, because the gift was made dependent on the document. V'Rav Chiya bar Avin amar Rav Huna, and Rav Chiya bar Avin said in Rav Huna, shlosh shtaros hein. There are really three different laws about documents. Trei hadamar, and two of these, the two that we mentioned, when I say to someone, lift up a handkerchief and then write a contract, or lift up the handkerchief on condition that you write the contract. Idach, the third, im kadam mocher v'kasav es hashtar. If a seller first writes the document before he even got the money for the field, ka'osa shesh shaninu, like what we've learned, Kosvin Shtar Lamocher, a sofer is allowed to write a document for the seller saying that he sold the object, Afal Pisha Ein Lokeach Imo, even though the buyer is not with him. And in that case, Kevin Shehirzik Zebakarka, once the buyer does an act of displaying ownership in the land, Nikne Shtar B'chol Makom Shehu, the contract, whichever, wherever it may be located, becomes the possession of the buyer, because the seller certainly wanted to transfer the contract over to the buyer. And so the buyer, by doing an act of chazaka on the land, acquires the contract wherever it is, based on the concept called agav. Agav means, or because of, or since. So we have a rule that when you acquire land, because of land, you can acquire movables with it. So clearly this contract was for the land. So it gets acquired with the land. The Zoe Sheshanina, this is one of the examples, that Nechasim She'en Lehem Achrayus, when you have movables, things that people wouldn't rely on because they move around, Niknin, they can be acquired im Nechasim She'esh Lehem Achrayus, with the objects that people do rely on, with land. Bekesef, bishtar ubechazaka, with either money or a contract or a chazaka done on the land. So what we're thinking here is that basically this shtar is just a bunch of words. It's just a bunch of words. And it gets acquired through words. So the seller agrees that it should belong to the buyer, therefore it belongs to the buyer. So we should say the same thing over here, that words can acquire words. Yeah.
In the first case, where the person can renege on the document but not renege on the field, Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Does that mean that, I mean, he still gets the field, so who cares if he doesn't get the document?
It's just a reality. It's going to be harder for him to maintain ownership of the field if he doesn't have the document to prove that he does own it.
So he'll just have witnesses. So, okay, fine.
Yeah, it'd be harder. So the Gemara says again, in this third case, what do we see? We see that if a person wrote a document saying, I sold my field to, let's say, Reuven, meanwhile he hasn't yet, and then when he does find Reuven and Reuven pays him for the field, the document becomes Reuven's wherever it might be. So that's pretty amazing that here you have this document becoming Reuven's just because the seller agreed to sell the field to Reuven, even though Reuven hasn't picked up the document. It's just basically the agreement of the seller that makes Reuven the owner of the document. So you see that mealy words get transferred with words. These are not even written words. These are just oral words. So certainly what we've been saying, that if you have a contract saying that the IOU between Zev and Rachamim is transferred to Yosef, that should work. So why did you say that mealy words can't be acquired with words? So Gemara says, no, there's a big difference here. Agav Shaini, here, it's not just words. It's not just that the seller said that the document that he wrote should belong to Reuven, and therefore it belongs to Reuven. Reuven actually gave him cash right now for the field. And by dint of acquiring the field, he also gets the contract wherever it is. It's not words, it's a big act. It's the act of acquiring the field with money which is making him get the words. It's not just the agreement of the seller that makes the buyer now own the contract. The buyer owns the contract because the buyer paid cash for the field, and by giving cash, he's acquiring the field, and by virtue of acquiring the field, he also gets the contract. So this is agav, says the Gemara. Dahamat beyad lo nikni bechalipin. For example, we have a rule that you can't transfer cash with an act of chalipin, and cash can't work to create the act of chalipin. It has to be an object. And yet, agav ara nikni. Nevertheless, if you wanted to transfer cash through kinyan agav, through selling a field by virtue of the field deal going through, the cash would also go through. That works. Ki had Rav Papa, like we know the story with Rav Papa. Havule tresar alfe zuzi bechuzai. He had 12,000 zuz in this town called Bechuzai, which is on the Tigris River, they were saying, on the Daf Yomi website. And Akninu Nino le Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, and he gave it over to Rav Shmuel Bar Acha, how? Agav Asifa de Beise, based on the stoop of his house. He said, listen, you'll acquire the stoop of my house, either with cash or with a contract, and by virtue of acquiring the stoop, also these coins become yours. And it did become his. We know that Rav Shmuel was so happy that Kiyasa, that when Rav Papa came, Nafak La'ape, he went out to greet him, Ad Tavach, all the way to this town Tavach. He was so happy to greet the man who had given him so many things. So you see that these things fully became his through Kinyan Agav. So Kinyan Agav is a very powerful Kinyan. Kinyan Agav can move over cash. Chalipin can't move over cash. Kinyan Agav can move over cash. So since Kinyan Agav is a powerful Kinyan, it also can move over a shtar. But the idea that your shtar can be moved over just by agreement or by another shtar, by another contract, that you haven't seen. Maybe a shtar can't be moved over with another shtar, because a shtar itself is words. And how could words work to move over words? You have to have an action to be able to move over words.
So Rav Papa was happy because he was concerned that the property had actually been transferred to Rav Shmuel Bar Aha. So when Rav Shmuel Bar Aha was actually coming to bring him the money, he was relieved because he thought that Shmuel Bar Aha could keep it. Is that
the thought Shmuel Bar Aha was so excited.
They explain it in the Gemara here is that Rav Papa was happy because the money was being brought to him. The indication, I guess, from the Gemara here is from the Koran is that he actually transferred the right of that property to Rav Shmuel.
Right, and so Shmuel was so happy, he went out all the way to Tavach to greet Rav Papa as Rav Papa was coming.
They explain it differently. They explain it here that Rav Papa was happy, seemingly because he was going to get his money from Rav Shmuel.
Rav Shmuel says Rav Papa was happy also.
Rav Papa was happy because
the
Kenyan worked.
I think it's because he was concerned that the Kenyan did work and that the money had been transferred to Shmuel, and now he was worried that Shmuel wasn't going to give him the money, so that's why he went all the way out to Tavach to greet Shmuel to get the money from Shmuel, because he had made such a good Kenyan that the property was actually Shmuel's, not the 12,000 dinars.
Rav Papa was so enjoyed that Rav Shmuel had retrieved the money that he traveled forth to meet Rav Shmuel the letter with the
right. In other words, thank you. So thank you for correcting me. So basically, this was money that Rav Papa had in the hands of a shomer. Rav Papa had money in the hands of a shomer in Beit Huzai. But for the shomer to give it to someone else, it had to actually belong to that other person, because otherwise the shomer would say, I'm only going to give it to the rightful owner. So he transferred it over to Rav Shmuel. So, and then Rav Shmuel got it out of the Shomer, because he can say, listen, I know it's mine. How do you know it's mine? Because it was made mine and because of the porch. When I got the porch, I also got the money. So Rav Papa was so happy. He went out to Tavach when Rav Shmuel was bringing back this money. Yeah. Right, that was the question.
I'm saying that was the question.
The Gemara's answer is no, it's not that just words acquire the shtar, it's a kinyan agav that acquires the shtar. What's that?
On the land.
Yeah. Yeah. By dint of acquiring the land, the shtar also becomes the acquisition.
Mishnah.
So going back to the Mishnah had said that when a person sells a big boat, he hasn't sold the slaves who pull the oars of the boat, nor has he sold the big bags that have the merchandise, v'loas ha'antiki, nor the merchandise itself. My antiki, what is antiki? Amar Rav Papa, iska de begava, the merchandise that's inside the large leather bags. So that hasn't been sold when a person sells the boat. All right, talking about next thing, when a person sells, what's included? Macharas ha-karon, a person who sells a wagon. So lo macharas ha-pradot, it's not in that the mules that pull the wagon are not included in that. Macharas ha-pradot, if he sold the mules, lo macharas ha-karon, he hasn't sold the wagon with them. Macharas ha-tzemet, if he sold the yoke, so lo macharas ha-bakar, he hasn't sold the cattle with them. Macharas ha-bakar, if he sold the cattle, lo macharas ha-tzemet, the yoke is not included in it. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right in terms of language. You're right that the word bakar does not include a yoke, or the word yoke does not include cattle. But Rabbi Yehuda says, hadamim modiyin, sometimes when you sell the cattle, you also sold the yoke based on the price that the guy paid. If the guy paid, let's say cattle go for $500 a head, and this guy paid $2,000 for two cattle, so what's going on? Why is he paying $2,000? Must be that in this deal it was more than just the cattle, it was the cattle and the yoke, and then the yoke also was sold. Ketzad amar lo, if a guy says to somebody else, mechor li tzimdecha b'masayim zuz, sell me your yoke for 200 coins. Adarvi yadua sheinat tzemed b'masayim zuz. There's no such thing as a yoke going for 200 zuz. So then it must be that he was buying the yoke with the cattle. Chachamim omer, but the chacham say no. Ein adam im raya. Money is not a proof.
All right, where's Rabbi Yehuda been the whole parak? The first time you hear this idea, you didn't always say this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But if Rabbi has another thing, is the galah, let's assume when he bought it, so if it was not with Predor, I can understand. Whatever it was with Predor and the galah together, I'd say, I want to buy the Karon. And the Predor, Shurot la Karon.
Right.
How can I say just Karon? Why is just Karon?
Well, we're talking about a case where they're not tied. The Rashbam says they're not tied.
Uh-huh. So there will be another case if it's
tied. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, that's not Chiddush, though. Chiddush here, but they obviously must have been. You know, if you look at the animal had it on him already.
No, they said that it's not attached, the Rashbam says.
How is that a Chiddush, then?
Because normally you think that these things go together. B'she'ein adukin bo mairi. It's when they're not attached to it.
We learned in the previous Gemara, though, that slaves were not included in the boat. Ship.
Right.
So if slaves aren't included in the ship, why would we think that the mules would be included with the ox? They're both the same purpose. The slaves are the people who row the ship. The mules are the people who pull it. So why is
Well, maybe because mules are less independent. They're more property than a slave. A slave is a human being, so... He walks on his own, makes decisions on his own. It's more understandable that he stands apart from the ship, whereas the mule, I would have thought, is a part and parcel of the wagon. So I have to tell you that just like the slaves are not part of the ship, the mule is not included in the wagon. He's not part of the wagon. Says the Gemara, Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava, Rav Tachlifa... taught a braisa, kamed rabavud, in front of rabavo, machar es hakaron, if a person sold a wagon, machar es hapredos, included in the wagon were the mules. Well, how can you say that? V'anan lo machar tzan, but our mission said it was not included. Amarle Yismai said, okay, do I have to throw away my braisa? Again, remember, braisos are Tanaitic statements, but they weren't all conclusive. Some of them were mistakes. He said, do I have to throw this one out? Amar Le, he said, look, no, you don't have to get rid of it. Titarge masnisa bishadukin bo. You can explain your braisa in a case where the cattle are still tied to the wagon. So if the cattle are tied to the wagon and a guy says, I'm buying the wagon, included in the purchase is the wagon and the cattle. When did the Mishnah say if a person says, I'm buying the wagon, he did not acquire the cattle with the wagon? When the cattle are not attached to the wagon. So since they're not attached, he didn't acquire the cattle with them.
It's not
unusual.
It's not attached.
It's
not attached. It's not attached. It's not attached. It's not attached.
Machar es hatzemed, the Mishnah says, if he sells the yoke, lo machar es habakar, the cattle are not included with the yoke. Says the Gemara, Echidami, what's the case? Ilema dekaru litzimda tzimda. Ulabakar bakar. If we're talking about a place where when people use the word tzemed, it only refers to the yoke. And when they refer to the cattle, they call it cattle. So pshita, so of course, tzimda zavinle, he sold him the yoke. Bakar lo zavinle, he didn't sell him the cattle. Ella dekarle nami lebakar tzimda, but if they call the cattle yoke, so kule zavinle. So then, why do we say that the cattle's not included? The cattle should be included. He sold the whole thing. Lo tzricha. The answer is like this: ba'asa dekarle letzimda tzimda ulebakar bakar. The majority of people call a yoke only yoke. If they want to talk about the cattle, they use the word bakar. But ikanami, there's a minority, the kari lubakar tzimda, that when they use the word semed, included in that is the cattle. So now, Rabbi Yehuda Sav, Rabbi Yehuda holds Adamim Modi'in. Once you see that the price was exorbitant for the yoke, so it must be this person and this seller and this buyer, they were working with the minority definition, namely that included in yoke is cattle. However, Rabbanan Savri, Ein Hadamim Raya. Whereas the Rabbanan hold, the money doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove anything. We don't say that the money shows what these people meant. On the contrary, we say that people may have given a lot of money. They're giving gifts. They're giving a gift. He's giving more money than he wanted to. More money than other people would do. He decided to give a gift. And therefore, it's not a proof of what was intended in the sale.
Wait, what's so special with this case that Rabbi Yehuda decides to find, like what, animals in yoke? Was it so much more, I guess, common? Like, he literally, by the case of the boat, he could have said it. By the case of the cows, we're always on the earth. It's very hard to understand why he suddenly...
I think he would have said in the other cases, too.
This is the first time we reference it.
This is the first time that it's referenced, but I think this is a rule.
This is the way he looks at it. He says that. Yeah.
So the Gemara asks, V'yein adamim raya. Now, if you're going to say that money is not a proof to what he sold and what was bought, so then, lehevi bitul mekach. Right? Obviously, now he's upset with the guy because he's saying, I want the cattle too. So let him say, you know what? You overcharged me. You charged me for a yoke, 200 zuz. There's no deal. If you're going to say bitul mekach l'rabbanan leslehu, maybe you'll say, well, maybe the rabbanan don't hold that that if you overpay, the deal is reversed. You just pay back, just return that which was overpaid for. Velo, how can you say that? What time we have a Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Biba says, Hamocher Sefer Torah Behema Margalios Ein Lehem Din Ona Ein Lehem Ona. If a person sells a Sefer Torah, an animal or a pearl, there's no Ona. Amru Lo, they said to him, Lo Amru Ella Es Elu. They said to him that that's not true. You know what? We'll pick up here, God willing, tomorrow. Okay, so we'll start here. Thank you.